Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So we're going to have the word and then we're going to pray. Now, as we've just said in prayer, the Lord always works according to purpose. He never does anything mindlessly or outside of his purpose. So, obviously, there is a consistency in the way in which the Lord leads us, step by step, step by step. And we've seen that over recent months. We've even seen it in these last few days, in this last week, since we started our encounter meetings in the church and in the times that we've had here. It's time for us to focus on the glory of the Lord. He wants to be glorified in the lives of his people. He also wants us to know his glory, whatever that might mean. Now, if we think of what he's been saying to us for the last few days, just for a moment, some key things have been brought to the surface. One of those is that when we pray in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean we just say, in the name of Jesus, amen, at the end of our prayers. I've been listening very intently to the way people have been praying, and mostly people still pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Why? Because we haven't processed the revelation yet. It's been such a habit that we do things, well, out of habit. And usually when you do things out of habit, they don't mean too much. You just do them because you do them. And we've seen that to pray in the name of Jesus is actually to pray what Jesus would pray, with the faith that Jesus would have, that the prayer actually originates with God by the Holy Spirit. We are mouthing, we are putting into words what God himself is moving us to pray. That's what it really means to pray in the name of Jesus. Just as if you speak in the name of Jesus, you are speaking what he gives you to speak. Or if you're acting in the name of Jesus, you are doing what he is calling you, leading you, commanding you to do. You're doing it in his name, in response to his initiative, as we've been seeing yesterday among the students, when we were talking about how prayer is responding to the initiative of God. So in his plan and purpose, he has to maintain the initiative, because we don't always know and understand what his plan and purpose is. But he does, and he unfolds it, he reveals it to us as we need to receive that revelation. So he gives us just enough for now so that we can process that, and then he leads us into something more and so on. So in these last days, we've been calling on the name of Jesus, because if we pray in the name, speak in the name, focus in the name of Jesus, Jesus is at the heart of everything. And we began this term by saying that everything in the outworking of God's purpose in our lives is dependent upon anointing. So we need the anointing for what he wants to do now, but as his purpose increases and grows in intensity and power, so the anointing has to grow with it. Because we have the anointing for what he's doing now, but we want to go beyond where we are now. And that's why you see in the Acts of the Apostles that the anointing upon those early believers continued to increase. And in the Greek, it says something quite extraordinary about the word. It says, the word grew. Now, how can the Word grow? Well, the Word is a living thing, isn't it? See? But as the anointing increased, so the Word grew. The kingdom was extended. More and more people became believers. Great and mighty things were happening in the experience of the church. So, all these things belong together. This is why God spoke to us last week about honoring the anointing. If we don't honor the anointing we have now, why should God increase it? He said, well, you don't honor it, so why should I give you any more of the anointing? Obviously, it's only when we honor the anointing by putting the anointing into effect and honoring those who carry the anointing that God will say, okay, then it's time to step up that anointing, and therefore it's time to step up what I am able to do among you. Because everything that he does is really dependent upon that anointing. And the anointing is not the person, but God in the person. God upon that person. The way God is operating and working through that person. And so, obviously, God wants to work more and more and more among us. So, our bodies, the scripture says, are temples of the Holy Spirit. Because we carry the anointing. So, if you've read Mark's Gospel for today, chapter 11, there we have Jesus cleansing the temple. And there's a cleansing that's gone on in our lives. Yesterday, among the students, a further cleansing. But what was really significant, what God was doing with us yesterday, was a fresh surrender of those temples to God. But you see, what does Jesus say about the temple? He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You have made it a den of robbers. Well, perhaps we've allowed the Lord to steal from us in many ways. I trust that what God has been doing amongst us has counteracted that. But you see, what God is saying to you today is your body is a house of prayer for all nations. Because your body is a temple. Temple of the Holy Spirit. So that makes your body a house of prayer. So prayer isn't an option for Christians. Prayer is right at the heart of God's purpose. We've seen last week that Jesus only used the anointing in relation to his Father. And that's why prayer was so important. It wasn't the prayer that determined the purpose of God. The purpose of God was already established. But you see, the relationship of prayer that God had with the Father enabled the Father's purposes to be realized, to be outworked in their lives. So God has his purpose for you. But as a praying person, that purpose will be outworked, it will be realized, it will be fulfilled. So Jesus, as he faces the cross, he prays, the time has come for you to glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. You see, Jesus saw everything in relation to his Father, everything he was doing, he saw it all in terms of glorifying the Father. I think if you'd been in a position where you could say to Jesus in his humanity, Lord, what matters to you more than anything? I think his answer would be to glorify my Father. Because you see, he knew that if he glorified the Father, then there would be the outworking of the Father's will in his life. Now, for many, many years, If you had asked me, Pastor Colin, what is the most important thing in your life, I would have said to see that God is glorified in my life, that I'm living for His glory. Because that is actually the reality of my life. Now, I don't glorify God in the same way that Jesus was able to glorify the Father. But you see, this has to be our motive. This has to be our desire, has to be our intention, that we're living not for our own glory, but for the glory of God. And Jesus said, if I sought glory for myself, my glory would mean nothing. But there is one who seeks my glory, and that is, of course, the Father. The Father wanted to be glorified in the Son, so that in due course the Son would be glorified by the Father. Are you breathing? Now you see, the same principle is true for you. God wants to be glorified in your life now, so that you will be glorified with Him for all eternity. In other words, you're sort of sowing what you will reap for all eternity, living for the glory of God now, so that you can enjoy all eternity with Him in His glory. So, prayer is an important part of our lives. Prayer enables the outworking of His purpose, but it doesn't determine His purpose. See, that's the point. When Jesus went aside to pray with the Father, they didn't have a conversation about what shall we do next. You see, the Father was determining what Jesus should do next. So you remember after that night in Capernaum when everybody got healed, and Jesus got up early the following morning and went off to a lonely place to pray, and everybody was searching for Him. When they found Him, they thought the obvious thing was to go and have another great revival meeting in Capernaum. But Jesus said, no, no, the Father is wanting us to go to the little villages, the little out-of-the-way places. That's why He sent me. Not just to go to the towns and the cities where there were big crowds of people, but to go wherever He leads me, because His salvation is for everyone in Israel, not just for those in Capernaum. So you see what was happening in that prayer time that Jesus had with the Father. He probably, when He got up early that morning and went off to be with the Father, He was probably in that place of submission where you were all yesterday, and as we prayed yesterday morning. And His attitude would have been, okay, Father, what next? Well, now you go to the villages. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's it. Because, you see, He was sharing our humanity. He'd emptied Himself, it says in Philippians. He emptied Himself. This is actually what the Greek word says. He emptied Himself of His glory that He had in heaven before He became man. So that now He had to glorify the Father in the same way that we have to glorify the Father, by being led by the Spirit and by obediently fulfilling what the Spirit is wanting us to do. But you see, Jesus had the right heart, motive, desire, and intention. He wanted to glorify the Father in everything that He did. And that's the place that God wants to bring us to, that we want to glorify Him as the people we are, in the things we do, in the way we pray, the things we say, because the more we cut out of our lives the things that don't glorify Him, the more room there is for the things that do glorify Him. We've only got so much room in our lives, haven't we? So we want all the space, if you like, in the temple to be taken up with what glorifies Him, because that's the purpose of a temple. Temple is a place that is set apart for the glorifying of God, you see. So He has called you, chosen you, set you apart made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit to be lived now for the glory of God, to be a house of prayer for all nations, because God's purpose for your life is going to be fulfilled through prayer. Are you getting this clear? The prayer doesn't determine his purpose, but the prayer enables the outworking of his purpose. God determines the purpose, not your prayer. But your prayer enables the outworking of that purpose. So in prayer, we need to hear the voice of God, don't we? Because then he reveals to us what it is he wants to do. Now, if we don't know what he wants us to do, how can he be glorified in what we're doing? You see, if we don't have revelation of his will and purpose, we don't know what will glorify him and what won't. And when we're in any given situation, sometimes we're perplexed, sometimes we don't know what to do, what to say. So the key then is, well, Lord, what do you want me to do or say that will glorify you? This should be the motive behind everything. Think for a moment of evangelism. Now, we were praying at one point last week that the Lord would give us souls. But why do we want to see people saved? So that they don't go to hell? Well, that's a good motive, but it's not the key motive. The key motive is that God will be glorified in those lives. Why? Because God created man to know his glory, but sin has robbed him of the glory. See, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the purpose of evangelism is to restore the glory of God in the lives of those who are saved. So they are restored to his glory so that then they can live for his glory. But everything revolves around this. Some of you will remember that I've preached in the past, every now and again I mention this, that everything we do in our lives is for three reasons: for the glory of God, for the good of his kingdom, and the welfare of his people. And that's what the Lord taught me. He said, this is the way to test when you are walking in my will or not. That what you are doing is for the glory of God, for the good of my kingdom, and the welfare of my people. Now you can see that in all three of those things, there is a selfless motive. None of those things is for ourselves, although, of course, we will benefit because whenever you bless God, he blesses you in return. But for the glory of God is for the good of God. For the kingdom is for the good of the kingdom. The welfare of people is for the good of other people. None of it is selfish. None of it is self-centered. None of it is focused on me. It's all focused on God, on his kingdom purposes, and on other people. Now, of course, as you live like that, because that's the way Jesus lived. In Jesus, everything was for the glory of the Father. Everything he did was focused upon his purpose to bring the kingdom from heaven to earth and to make it possible for us to be part of that kingdom. Everything he taught, everything he said, everything he did was for the welfare of other people. He never sought his own welfare. In fact, he was willing to lay down his life, even to the point of going to the cross, for the welfare of other people. For the glory of God, because it was the will of God, this was the only way in which it would be possible for people to enter the kingdom, and this is the only way that people could be saved. So he was fulfilling those three purposes, you see, in everything he did, but especially in the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. So our bodies then are temples of the Holy Spirit, places where God is to be glorified. So God is to be glorified in us. Now, of course, we seek to glorify him in our praise and our worship, but we've got to glorify him also in whatever we say and do. Whatever you say and do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him, Paul says when he's writing to the Colossians. So, as I explained to you the other day, when you speak in the name of Jesus, you see, I'm speaking in the name of Jesus now because I'm speaking what God gives me to speak, but I'm not standing here saying, in the name of Jesus, I say to you, and in the name of Jesus, I say to you, and in the name of Jesus, I say to you. And if I'm doing something in the will of God, I don't walk on saying, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. You see, just as when we pray, we shouldn't say, I'm praying in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. No, no, no. If you're praying in the name of Jesus, you're praying the prayer that God gives you to pray. You're praying with the faith that comes from Him, not just the faith in Him. Remember the distinction of that that we discovered last week. So, everything, Lord, for your glory. If it doesn't glorify you, it's got no part of my life. Now, that's the aim. You see, the scripture says, aim for godliness. What is godliness? Well, godliness is simply doing everything for the glory of God. It's being like God, living for the glory of God, living for the honor of God. So because the Holy Spirit is God upon us, the anointing of God upon us, if we don't honor the anointing, we're not honoring the Lord who gave us the anointing. And if we don't honor the anointing on one another, then we don't honor the Lord, because He anointed those people, whether we're surprised that He anointed those particular people or not is not the case. He has. If we don't give double honor to those who are over us and preach and teach us, as the Word says, then we're dishonoring the Lord. We are dishonoring the people, but the important thing is that we're dishonoring the Lord who has given them anointing and put them in the position that they're in. So everything, you see, ultimately comes back to whether we're glorifying God or not. So if we don't honor the anointing on our own lives, we're not glorifying God because He gave us the anointing. If we're not honoring the anointing on one another, we're not glorifying God in our attitude towards others. If we don't give that double honor to those who God raises and puts over us in the Lord, then we're not glorifying God in our attitude towards those leaders. Can we see this? Hello? Everything is, if you like, not judged, but evaluated as to whether God is glorified or not. In the whole of His purpose and the outworking of His purpose, God is to be glorified. So here in Mark's Gospel, this chapter 11 is probably the most read part of Mark's Gospel, especially the what is called the prayer of faith, which begins in verse 22. We can turn to that if you've trust you do have your Bible with you. Now, the first thing that Jesus says here is, have faith in God. You can translate that, have the faith of God, or the faith that comes from God. Either of God or from God, you see. And we saw how important it is to have the faith that comes from God. Faith is our faith in Him, but the faith that comes from God is the faith that God gives to us. It is really the gift of faith. It's the way the spirit of faith is to operate in our lives. So have the faith from God. Then he says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. No mention of in the name of Jesus or in my name. It's a question of, first of all, believing in your heart. And then because you've received the faith from God, you speak with the authority of God to that situation. Why? Well, you can say, yes, we want the mountain to be removed, but actually we want God to be glorified. And God will be glorified in the moving of the mountain. How do we know that? Well, you can't move the mountain, only God can. And God will never do anything that doesn't glorify Him. God will never do anything that is in opposition to His glory, ever. He is glorified in everything that He does. So we know, okay, the removing of the mountain is what glorifies God. So if I want to glorify God in prayer, then I need to believe in my heart, receive the faith that comes from Him, speak to that mountain with authority, and command it to be moved. And God, because I want to see God glorified in this situation, and God will then remove the mountain for His glory. Have we got this? It's very quiet in here this morning. Are you alive, breathing? Feel your pulse if you're in any doubt as to... Okay. And you see, it doesn't say you will remove the mountain. It says it will be done for Him. It will be done for you. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, that means any time you ever ask anything in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? Because you're praying according to what Jesus Christ has already established, what He has already done for the glory of the Father. Listen, you often hear people say, quite rightly, Jesus went to the cross for us. That's true, isn't it? But actually, first and foremost, He went to the cross for the glory of the Father. The reason why He went to the cross is because this was the will of His Father. Not my will, but your will be done. It was for the glory of the Father. He was glorifying the Father in going to the cross. So this is why you see, in like manner, He says to the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Why? Because that's the only way to live for the glory of the Father. See, the only way to live for the glory of the Father is to deny yourself. But that's not saying, I deny myself, I deny myself. I want this, but I deny myself. I want that, but I deny myself. No, no, the way to do it is to focus on what God wants. And if you do what God wants, you will in fact be denying yourself. Hello? You know, if God has called us to love others, so if you... as is often the case, you have to go out of your way to actually express love for someone, you are denying yourself in that process. But you see, you don't think, I'm denying myself, because your focus is on the need of this person who needs to be loved. So your heart motivation is to love this person, because you know that's the right thing to do for them, but also this is what will glorify the Lord. But in the process of doing that, you're denying yourself. Now, of course, you could, you wouldn't, because you belong to Kingdom Faith, but other people might decide not to love that person and to choose to please themselves instead. You've got to understand how the rest of the kingdom of God works here on earth. And realize that not everybody lives up to your high standards. Yes. So, but you see, the heart motivation is key to all of this, isn't it? Of course, I'm only joking, but Jesus goes on to say, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Now, I'll tell you this, you will never be able to believe that you've received something that doesn't glorify God. Because the Holy Spirit will never bear witness to you. That you have something that does not glorify the Lord. Everything that the Holy Spirit does is to glorify the Father and the Son. This is why Jesus says the Spirit will never speak anything from himself. He will speak only what he hears. Why? Because his whole purpose is to be at work in the lives of God's children so that they live for his glory. They pray, they speak, they act for the glory of God. Therefore, because everything that Jesus did glorified the Father, they pray in his name, they speak in his name, they act in his name. They don't just use his name. So, we had some years ago a real move of the Spirit amongst us because God just laid on our hearts this question, what would Jesus do? Now, actually, out of that, it became quite a thing. People were even wearing wristbands with the thing. But actually, it began with something that God was outworking amongst us here. Now, he's worked this out in previous generations in other places. But when God initiates something, you're not imitating what is done anywhere else, but you're responding to something that God is doing now amongst you here. And this was something that came out of, you see, the initiative of God. And so we asked ourselves a series of questions. If Jesus was in my situation, what would he believe? Well, that's what I need to believe. If he was in my situation, what would he pray? How would he pray? Well, that's what I need to pray, and that's how I need to pray. If he was in my situation, what would he do? Well, that's what I need to do. You see, and you can have these series of questions, all revolving really around, well, if Jesus was in my situation, what would I do? Now, of course, the key is to understand that he is in your situation because he lives in you. The secret is this, Christ in you. Hallelujah. And actually, we produce thousands, we have tens of thousands of these little booklets. And wherever we went preaching, we distributed these little booklets and so, you know, at a meeting there might be hundreds of them, sometimes thousands of them, we'd be giving away. And this took people through these series of questions, and on the back page there was a commitment to live for a whole year seeking to do only what Jesus would do. And there was a box you could tick off for each month. That, you know, so that people would reaffirm their determination every month to do everything in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. It was made clear that there was no condemnation when we failed to do this. But I think this had a profound effect upon many, many people. I think in the sort of spiritual climate that exists out there today, I don't think there would be probably the same kind of response. I don't know. Perhaps it's unfair to say that. But certainly at that time, there was just a tremendous response to the way that, because obviously this was open to people. They didn't have to, they had to come forward to receive these little booklets. They weren't just distributed as they went home. They came forward and they received them, and they went away. They had to sign this declaration. And, you know, we received a bit of opposition. Some people say, oh, you shouldn't ask people to sign anything like that. But you see, when you enter into any kind of legal contract, it's not actually legal until you sign it. And I would say to people, well, what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of signing it? Don't you intend to do it? Oh, well, I might fail. Yes, but it says there in the words, there is no condemnation even when we fail to do this. What we're expressing is our intent. I don't know why I should remember that. I haven't thought about that for many, many, many years. But you see, that all came out of this desire to see God glorified in every aspect of our lives. Because if He is, then we're going to do what Jesus would do. But you see, that also recognizes this essential truth that everything Jesus did was for the glory of the Father. So what we were in fact saying is, well, we want to do everything for the glory of the Father, and we don't want anything in our lives that does not glorify the Father. So if we're going to be like Jesus, because what does the scripture say? In the world, we are as He is. We have overcome the world. Our faith has overcome the world. For in the world, we are as He is. This is God's call upon us as Christians. In the world, we are to be as He is. The secret is this: Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is our only hope, really, of being able to glorify God. You see, what you have to understand is you cannot live the Christian life. Totally impossible for you. The only person who can live the Christian life is Jesus. So the only way that you can get anywhere remotely near living the Christian life is by Christ in you living the Christian life. See, this is why He is your holiness, He is your righteousness, He is your redemption, He is your wisdom from God. He is everything, because only He can do it in you. The more you try to do it, the more trying you become. You see, because apart from Him, you can do nothing. But you're not apart from Him, because you're living in Him and He's living in you. So He is, you see, people that think they can do it, that's self-righteousness, which is filthy rags in the sight of God. So whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? Because you prayed it for the glory of God, and you're absolutely sure that in every situation where you are, God will glorify Himself. God will glorify Him. Just as He glorified Himself in the Son, so He will glorify Himself in you. He will glorify Himself in you. He will glorify Himself through you. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you know, we are who we are. We're a bunch of nobodies, really. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But He says, okay, you make your life available to Me as you did afresh yesterday, and I will be glorified in you. My Spirit will work in you for My glory. And more of who Jesus is will be revealed in you and through you. So this is the amazing thing, you see, that the whole work is the work of God, really. We just make ourselves available. And that's why it's so important for us to do as we did yesterday, make that fresh submission of ourselves to Him, fresh surrender of ourselves to Him. We have to keep in that place of surrender, because if we don't maintain that place deliberately, we will inevitably take things back into our own hands. And then you end up trying to be what God wants you to be, trying to do what you know you ought to do according to the Word of God. And, you know, the whole thing becomes a strain and difficult, and you feel a failure. And you think, you know, will I ever really make progress in all this stuff? Because I seem to fail again and again in the same ways. And I've told you before, you know, you need to learn to thank God for your failures. Because, you see, when you fail, he's speaking to you. And he's saying, you didn't trust me. You didn't glorify me in that situation. Now, if you trusted me, I would have been glorified and you wouldn't have failed. Is that too simple? But you see, that's the reality. That is the reality. So, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? Well, if you've truly prayed in the name of Jesus, you've prayed according to the purpose of Jesus, you've prayed for the glory of God, and you have laid hold of what God has already done and accomplished through Jesus. So you can believe you have received it, because you know that he hears you, and if you know that he hears you, you know that you have from him whatever you ask. Hallelujah. But then notice what Jesus says here, and he says it again and again whenever he's teaching people to pray. This is always an element. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anybody, forgive him. Why? Right, you're praying for the glory of God. You're praying for God to be glorified in your circumstances or in the circumstances of someone else that you're praying for. What does not glorify God is unforgiveness. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And he taught the parable of the unmerciful servant just to show how dangerous it is, having tasted the mercy of God, to refuse to be merciful to others. So you refuse to forgive and you take offense. And we saw last week that when people take offense, then they're soon in big, big trouble. You see, taking offense doesn't glorify God. Refusing to forgive does not glorify God. Refusing to be merciful once he has been merciful to you does not glorify God. So why does Jesus always mention this? When he's talking about prayer, you see, when he's teaching people how to pray, that is. Even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Why? Because how can we pray for God to be glorified in the situations we're praying about if we're doing something that doesn't glorify him? I mean, we're doing something deliberately that doesn't glorify him. Because we know that we are to forgive. We know that we are to be merciful. So when we refuse to do that, we are knowingly doing something against the will of God. And how can we pray for his will to be established in the circumstances and the situations we're praying about if we're knowingly doing something that does not glorify him? Are you at the same meeting I'm at here? You see, we can't sort of departmentalize our lives and saying, well, I'm glorifying God in this part, but I'm not glorifying God in that part. Why does the scripture say it's the prayers, the fervent prayers of the righteous that avail much? Because you see, what you may not understand is you can think that you're in faith for God to move in response to your prayer in this area, But in that area, you are not glorifying Him because there's some area of deliberate disobedience and sin. In your thinking, that may have nothing to do with this. But God doesn't see you as compartments. He sees you as a person. And what He knows is that your sin there undermines your authority here. Because you're not submitted to Him there, therefore, you are robbing yourself of the authority that you have in prayer. So you can come out with all the right words. You can say in the name of Jesus as many times as you like, but He knows you're not acting in His name when you refuse to forgive someone. So whenever you stand praying, if you hold anything against anybody, I mean, that's all inclusive, isn't it? Anything against anybody. So you see, if you have a wrong attitude to someone and you're not honoring them, you better get it sorted, because otherwise that is going to undermine the effectiveness of your prayer. Are we getting this? And that's why Jesus, you see, is so insistent about this. How many times, Lord, should I forgive? 7 times? No, 77 times. Innumerable times. He doesn't mean 490 times and count them up as you're going. He means, no, an innumerable. You always forgive. If your brother sins against you 7 times in a single day and comes back and asks you to forgive him, you are to forgive him. Mm-hmm. You know, I just a simple illustration I use for this is, supposing somebody came to you and said, could I borrow your car? You say, yes. They come back an hour later and there's a dent in the front. I'm so sorry, but I had a little bump. Oh, it's okay, it's only a car. I forgive you. A little later comes back, can I borrow your car again? If you've forgiven them, yeah, that's all right. They come back another hour later. I'm not saying this is a lady driver. See. They come back. I said, no, I said, not. Comes back an hour later, and now there's a bump in the back. I'm terribly sorry, but somebody just ran into the back of me. That's okay, it's only a car, I forgive you. Comes back a little while later, I need to borrow your car again. Is that all right? Yeah, of course it is. 7 times. Now you might say, there would be a little lack of wisdom in lending your car to someone else. But no analogy is perfect. But you get the point. You get the point. Even if in the same day somebody offended you 7 times, still you forgive them. If they come back and say, look, I'm sorry. Let's put it a very simple way. How many times in a single day do you offend the Lord? One of the things I like to do sometimes, you know, especially when there's a big crowd of people, I say, how many of you believe you could go for a whole month without sin? See, and if there's a big lot of people, they all do. You were doing it quite quietly, but people laugh. What an outrageous suggestion. So I say, what about a week? And they all laugh. A day? And you know, the atmosphere begins to change a bit. An hour? But there's a serious point, you see, because you live according to your expectations. So today, do you expect to sin today? Hello? Or are you determined not to sin today because you want to do everything for the glory of God? It's just a question of heart motivation. But do we take sin seriously? I mean, you know, we tell sinners out there in the world, your sin separates you from God. Well, isn't sin even more serious in the life of a Christian than a non-believer? Because a non-believer doesn't know better, but a Christian does. Hello? So, you know, praise God that His mercies are new every day. But there's a difference between deliberate sin and getting things wrong inadvertently. The motive, you see, is whether we're really living to glorify God. So, you know, a lot of you are facing questions about your future. What am I going to do when I leave Rafi and all this kind of thing? Well, God will reveal to you what the next step is in His purpose for you. When He has your heart in the right place, wanting to glorify Him. You see, the point is, Lord, what do you want me to do next? The real issue is, Lord, how am I to glorify you? What will glorify you? You see, if that is our desire, if that is our motive, God will always show us what will glorify Him. You see, I start every day getting my instructions for the day. The reason why I spend time listening to the Lord, usually about 45 minutes, perhaps a bit longer sometimes, is I need Him to tell me what He wants me to do today or any day for His glory. I don't just leave it sort of haphazard. Well, Lord, I just trust that everything I do today and the decisions I make will glorify you. I want to know. Like, you know, I get my instructions, okay, Lord, the keynote, what do you want to say? What do you want me to say? Now, I don't write out a sermon, but He gives me, right, I want you to speak about my glory and how that glory is associated to the things I've been doing recently, calling on my name, praying in my name, honoring the anointing on your lives, seeking therefore my glory in every aspect of your life. And you realize, you see, or I realize, that as I wait upon the Lord day by day, week by week, He's unfolding for me what He wants me to do next, because that's all part of the plan that He has for us. So you think of last week, you know, and how God led us step by step through the meetings here in the morning and the encounter evenings in the church. And you see, there was a definite progressive purpose that God had. It wasn't just a series of meetings where we had different topics. But God was leading us on according to His purpose. And that's what He does every week with these keynotes. This is why we have a keynote. Okay, Lord, what is to be the keynote for the following week? So, you know, just as He's saying, right, call on my name. He was saying at the end of last term, learn really what it is to pray in my name. Learn what it is to have the faith that comes from God, not just the faith in God. Make sure that you honor the anointing. And above all, seek to glorify me in everything that you say and do. See, there's a pattern, there's a purpose. It all fits together. Can you see that? But what we have to do is to process each step. That means we have to act upon it. We have to put it into action. So you sit there and listen to this message about glorifying the Lord. So how are you to process it? What difference is it going to make to your life? If it doesn't make any difference, then you have deceived yourself because you've heard something that the Lord wants you to do, but you don't put it into action. And what the scripture says, what James says in his epistle, is that those who hear the word and do not do it deceive themselves. So you always have the option of either processing the revelation God gives you, putting it into practice and glorifying Him, or deceiving yourself and ending up, therefore, ignoring the revelation and dishonoring God because you haven't put it into practice. Are we there? And this is the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't lay it all on in one fell swoop. He just gives us enough each day, each time. Right? This is what you need to process now. This is what you need to process. And this is what you need to process. And this is what you need to process. And you see, to you, it might seem, oh, come on. This is asking so much. We're having to move so fast. But actually, as far as God is concerned, it's slow progress. Because there's so much more that He wants to do to glorify His name. And you see, that's what we want. Oh, Lord, move amongst us in your sovereign power. That was such an important message that Pastor Clive brought on Sunday morning about familiar. I wanted to sort of stand up at the end and say, you know, for the last few times that I've preached here, I've had in my heart the longing for God to do miracles. I mean, real visible things. And I've been in the place with God of saying, Lord, I'm ready, because I know, you know, He's got to have the initiative. And if He just tells me what to do, I won't do it. He will do it. But all He's got to do is just tell me what to do, and boom, it will happen. And I've sort of been ready. And God said, no, not yet. And as Pastor Clive was speaking, I was thinking, yeah, that's right. God's waiting until people get rid of this familiarity. Why? Because you see, at Nazareth, He could not do. Doesn't say He did not do, but He could not do many mighty things there. Because of their familiar attitudes with Him. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, here's just another message from Pastor Colin, or from Pastor Clive, or somebody. Oh, yeah, here's another few words of knowledge about healing. Boom, boom, boom. There's no sort of, come on, God wants to be glorified amongst us this Sunday. We've come together. This is why, you know, if people really came together for the glory of God, they wouldn't be late, would they? We wouldn't be late. We wouldn't just turn up with a sort of familiar attitude. We'd say, come on, I want to see God glorified. Glorified in my life. I want to see Him glorified in the church. And just like Paul says and we prayed, didn't we, last week, there would be glory in the church. Yeah, come on, come on. I want God to be glorified. I want Him to do the things that will glorify Him. You know, there's this sort of expectation, this hunger, this real desire. Oh, God, be glorified. Not just because the band sing a good song. I mean, that's not what God is after. He's not after the right songs. He's after whatever will glorify His name. See? Whatever will glorify Him. And that's the kind of attitude God wants us to have when we come here. Oh, not just another 8 o'clock. No, because you see, as we were seeing last Friday, God's purpose is always to do that which is fresh, not that which conforms, not that which is, you know, becomes our tradition. He wants us to come with that sense of excitement. Something different, Lord. Why? Because I want to see you glorified. I want to see you glorified in my life. I want to see you glorified amongst us. I want to see you glorified in Kingdom Faith. And he will be glorified, you see, as his purpose for us is outworked and fulfilled. But the only way that that can happen is through his word. Not through prayer, but through his word. By responding to his word. By processing his word. By putting it into practice. We need to pray for that whole process to take place. But it's not our prayer that determines the purpose. It's the word of God that determines the purpose. It's what he speaks. It's what he declares. We pray the word of God into being in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is glorified whenever we fulfill what he desires. So, what do you need to pray this morning? Well, I don't know your heart like God knows it. But is there that real desire for God to be glorified in your life? Presumably not, because nobody said, yes! Well, now you know what to pray this morning. And it won't happen by you saying, oh Lord, I want to glorify, see you glorified in my life, and I ask this in the name of Jesus, amen. That won't cut it. That really won't cut it. That really will not make any significant difference at all. Because that's not what it is to pray in his name, is it? But you call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I want to see you glorified in my life. You don't have to say in the name of Jesus. He knows you're praying in his name. When you pray like that, listen to me. He knows when you're praying in his name and when he's not. You know, I think when people say, in the name of Jesus, amen, it's like they pull the handle of a fruit machine and they've got three apples. Way! That's the formula. Boom! Oh, we got the jackpot! I don't know if it's apples that gets the jackpot because I never use the things, but you understand what I mean. You know, the Father and the Son aren't sitting there on the throne, they're waiting. Come, where's the magic phrase? Yeah, I hear all the words, I hear all the words. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Where's the magic phrase? Oh! No, 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 no. Come on. Let's get wised up about this, eh? He knows when we're praying in his name and when we're not. Whether you use the phrase or not. He knows when you're praying what he wants you to pray. What he's giving you to pray. What the Spirit is leading you to pray. He knows when you're praying with faith. He knows when you're praying to glorify his name. And that's the thing. So I'm being careful now not to say, in the name of Jesus, amen, when I pray. You haven't heard me say it for days now. Why? Because you may not have been listening. I don't know whether you listen when I pray or not. But what I've been saying is, Lord, just do this for the glory of your name. For the glory of. Amen. Come on, let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. Do it all for the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. Do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's the word of God. Do it all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Come on, you just pray. Don't wait for me to pray for you. You pray. Just tell the Lord you want Him to be glorified in every area of your life. To have the heart attitudes that glorify Him. To speak in a way that glorifies Him. To act in a way that glorifies Him. To pray that He will be glorified in every situation about which we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we call upon your name so that you are glorified in every situation, in every person that we pray for. Lord, we want to see you glorified in every situation about which we pray. We want to see you glorified. In our lives, Lord, we want to see you glorify. Amongst us here in the college, we want to see you glorify. In the team, Lord, we want to see you glorify. In the whole of the church, Lord, in Horsham, in Crawley, in Worthing, we want to see you glorify. In the 25-mile radius, we want to see you glorify. In our nation, we want to see you glorified. In the whole of Europe, we want to see you glorified. In the Middle East, we want to see you glorified. Among your people, Israel, we want to see you glorified. All over the world, Lord, we want to see you glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. We want to see you glorified today. We want to see you glorified in and among us today. We want you to do the things in our lives that will glorify you today. We want to be open for you to allow you to cooperate with you in what will bring you glory today. Lord, we want that loving obedience to your word today for your glory today, because we know you are glorified when we put into practice the words and the commands that you give us. Lord, we want that faith to believe your promises today, because today is the day of salvation. Thank you, Lord. It's all for today, for now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puratapariya letuba kala sandariya letuba. O papara sarabariya letuba kala. Today, Lord, today, today, be glorified today. Be glorified in me today. I want you to be glorified in me today, Lord, today. Papara sandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sandama. O papara zarabaria leto. Lord, I want to make decisions that glorify you. I want to say whatever glorifies you. I want to do whatever glorifies you. I want to relate to others in the way that glorifies you. That in everything, Lord, I'm seeking your glory, your glory, your glory. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Puratapari aledo bakala sandari aledo bakala sandama. Bazandari aledo bakala sitari sandari aledo bakala sandama. Oh, papara sarabari, leto bakala sandama. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I want to pray in a way that will glorify you. I want to worship in a way that will glorify you. I want to walk in the way that will glorify you. I want to speak in the way that will glorify you. I want the attitudes that will glorify you. I want to use opportunities that you give me in a way that will glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I want to see more souls saved so that you're glorified in the lives of more and more people. I want to see your glory restored in those lives. All for your glory, Lord, all for your glory. Not so I can count scalps, not so that we can simply see more people in church, but that you will be glorified in those lives that you have rescued from darkness and brought into your light. The light of your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Lord know you're serious about this. O papara zarabari alero bakala zandari alero bakala zandala. O papara zarabari alero bakala zandala. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Papara zarabari alero bakala zandari alero bakala zandala. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We want to see your power released amongst us in ways that will glorify you. We want to see you doing the things that will glorify you. We want to see lives transformed so you're glorified. We want to see bodies healed so that you're glorified. We want to see miracles that will glorify you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Papara zarabari aleto bakala zandari aleto bakala sita di sambo. O papara zarabari aleto bakala sita di sambo. Come on, Jesus. 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 So our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. The more that glory is revealed in us, the more like Him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Poparazanaria lera bakala sanda bakalasina. God pours all His grace upon you because He has called you to know His glory eternally through your unity with Christ. Yes, you will have to suffer and face the cost of obedience to Him first, but He Himself will restore and keep you strong, firm in your faith, and steadfast in your obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Puparazara baria leda bakala sandi. Jesus prayed, I have brought you glory while I have been here on earth because I have completed the task you appointed me to accomplish. Come on, let's pray that we will bring glory to God on the earth by fulfilling the purpose that He has for each one of us. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. That we will finish the work, hallelujah, that He has for us. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Poparazala baria lero bakarasandam. Bazandaria lero bakarasandaria lero bakarasandam. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Popara salabaria lero bakala sandaria lero bakala sandama. O papara zarabaria lero bakala sandaria lero bakala sinama. O papara zarabaria lero. For Your glory, Lord, for Your glory, for Your glory. Papara zandama. So, Lord, we ask for the grace to process all this wonderful revelation that You've given us just in the last week. Not just to store these things away, not to file them in our memories, but Lord, to process the words that You speak to us day by day so that You will be glorified. For the good of Your kingdom, for the welfare of all those whose lives we would touch, with Your life, Your love, Your power, Your glory. And also, Lord, that we ourselves will know that we have, by Your mercy and grace, added to Your glory. Thank You that as the heavenly host worships You, they say day and night that You are worthy to receive all glory. So, Lord, every day we want You to receive glory through us. And the glory You have anointed us with will be so working through our lives and be expressed through us that we will add to Your glory. You will be glorified, Lord. You will be glorified in each one of us. So, Lord, if any of us are still bothering about ourselves and worried about ourselves and focused on ourselves, forgive us and help us to focus on You, on glorifying You, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Considering Him. Hallelujah. Drawing near to Him, coming to Him day by day, calling upon His name day by day. Everything will be focused on Jesus and glorifying Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Lord, I recognize that there are some things my flesh would like to do, but they won't glorify You. So I choose Your glory above all those things. So I deny the flesh and choose to live for Your glory. Can you pray accordingly from your heart? In your flesh it was nothing good, so there's nothing to glorify the Lord in your flesh. So we don't choose the flesh, we choose the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that Your Spirit within us has this one aim above everything else, to guide us into all the truth so that we glorify You in our lives. Yes. And we praise You. We bless You. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Paralapa sandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sandaria. O papara sandaria leto. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This Christian life isn't about me. It's not about us. It's about glorifying you. And we praise you. We bless you. We thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, do in me today, do in each one of us today, that which will glorify you. Work it in me, Lord. Whatever will glorify you. And Lord, I believe we're going to see in the very near future a real release of your power, of your glory amongst us. We're going to see you doing glorious things. Father, I thank you that we've repented of that over-familiarity of just taking you for granted, taking things for granted, and just coasting with you. Thank you, Lord. Now we're reaching out with all of our hearts to see you glorified. Not just because we want to see people healed, but we want to see you glorified in the healing of your people. We want to see you glorified in the mighty works. Thank you, Lord. We already see that to a certain measure. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And we're mindful that all those things are the work of your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we can remember things that you have done that have really glorified you. And we praise you for all those things. But Lord, we are hungry for more. We want to see you glorified still more. Hallelujah. Much, much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's have a shout of praise. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, Jesus! Jesus! Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was that voice that was heard from heaven on the occasion when Jesus said, glorify your son. Voice was heard from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. I believe that's what the Lord's saying. Yes, there's been things that have been going on in our lives and among us that have glorified him. But his purpose is to glorify his name amongst us again and again and again. Again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.